Smart Talk is supported by Capital Blue Cross, providing healthcare coverage accepted by doctors and specialists in all 50 states. More information is available at capitalbluecross.com. Smart Talk is also supported by UPMC, dedicated to pursuing and pioneering treatments that will one day be the standard worldwide. For more information, visit upmc.com/happeningtoday.
Welcome to Smart Talk. I'm Anaya Falcon. Since the early 1970s, video games have dominated pop culture and created communities and fans all over the world. Games like Minecraft, Grand Theft Auto, Wii Sports, and Mario Kart have dominated the multi-billion dollar industry, ranking as some of the best-selling video games of all time with millions of copies sold. Although video games were created in the name of fun, recent studies are analyzing the positive and negative effects of video games. Dr. Sa Liu, assistant professor of interactive media studies at Harrisburg University, joins us to provide some insight on the science behind video games and their impact. Dr. Sa, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Anaya.
So tell us about the direction that video games are going in and the new innovations that are being made.
That's a great question. So as you know, we play games a lot.
Yes.
Football game, that's a game. Basketball game, that's a game. So video games started when computers started becoming popular at late 90s, late 2000s. So it started when computer entered our life, basically. And now with the technology advancement, we have phones in our hands now, not just computers. We carry a device with us all the time. And so you get to play games on a phone as well. So from the very beginning, on a Game Boy pad to the console, to the current on the phone, and in the future, I mean, it's already here, right? You have, you see kids, you see other students, you know, our students here who are playing VR games, having a goggle on their head. So that's maybe the trends we are having.
And what kind of impact do video games make on people, whether good or bad?
This is a really big question, you know. It's a million-dollar question, right? So there are lots of study out there researching about the impact of video games on human, especially on kids, from before you are eight, from age group from to 8 to 18, adults, and they also have lots of studies on elderly as well. So based on different age groups, there might be different effect. And depending on the games we are playing, it may have different effect. So I'm really focusing on study how educational games impact on learners from age group 8 to 25. So that's what we do. That's my research focused on. So maybe I can speak for that a little bit more. From my research, we are looking at is how we can use video games to help students learning about science, and that effect. We see lots of positive side on students' motivation, emotion, on their cognitive side, on their social side. We can see very positive effects when they play games in classroom with their classmates. We do also see sometimes, we call it just like we're taking medicine, right? There is side effect, and which is lots of researchers or parents or families you are concerned about is, what if students are playing some violent games? Would that affect them? There are tons of study out there. There might be different opinions on different things, but majority, if you are looking at the research, a growing body of research saying that video games have very positive impact, and for the violent video games, the study shows that the video game violence doesn't really increase the aggression over time, but rather it was other factors, maybe including the player's level of depression, exposure to family violence, or some other peer influences that affect you can bad habits from playing video games. So there are different research out there and different effects.
What kind of impact do video games have on people socially?
That's a good question. So there are studies on video games when kids are playing. For example, there are social games. Basically, we categorize those social games into two types. One is competitive, the other one is cooperative. Regarding the social aspects, of course, there are games you play just by yourself, right? But when we are talking about social aspects, for the competitive game, you will be able to compete in a level to see who reached the goal first, who finished the level first, or finish the task first, right? So that's the competitive side. You will be able to put yourself out there having a competition and always makes things fun, right? And the other side of the game is some games are designed to be cooperative, in which, for example, Minecraft. I don't know if you are familiar with it.
Very familiar.
Yes. So if you have a kid or if you have some nephew, niece, everybody plays Minecraft, right? They get to work together with their friends in a game to build something together. So they will be able to, some game actually have the audio embedded in a game too. You'll be able to talk to your friends in a game, figure out how to do some things together online to build things. So those are some very good positive effects on the social aspects. You are not just by yourself playing the games. Especially during COVID, I'm sure lots of parents already seeing their kids playing games with their friends when they are having school shutting down, right? You will be able to socialize with your friends in an environment that you have a common goal together. So that's some good effects regarding the social games.
And I know that you study how video games can help students to learn and educate themselves. Do video games enhance critical thinking skills as well?
As a big advocate for video games for learning, I would say yes. There are studies other researchers did for critical thinking. They research how students are doing research in the games. So for example, there is a science game created by my previous colleagues in University of Texas, and the students will be able to play as a young scientist in a game to save aliens who are left on the Earth, basically had some catastrophic disaster. So they were on the Earth, and the students play as a young scientist to doing research and thinking about where they will be able to place those aliens into different planets in our solar system. So during that problem solving process, students will be able to practice their critical thinking and research different planets and make a decision on, okay, which planet is suitable for which aliens. So by put students into a scenario or a story, they will be able to practice that skills.
So talk to us about the science behind video games stimulating the brain to make them more addicting for people.
Yes, addictions. Yeah, that's the key word, right?
Yes.
So there are different learning theories or psychology theories behind it. When we are looking at games, we are thinking about how human thinking as well, right? And that's why we design learning games, because we want to motivate students to play it and learn things meanwhile. So currently there are different series where we are designing games for. So this is the one we are using when we are doing educational games, as we believe students or the learners are learning when you are actively participating in the process. You are not passively receive the information from the teachers, from your friends, but you are building on your knowledge based on your previous experience while you are learning. So that's called a constructivist theory. And that's how humans operate. Basically, in all parts of our lives, not just about learning. So based on this theory, video games itself, because for a game, in order it to be a game, it has a goal, has a story, has a certain rules. So it made it, you as a player, you will be able to do it on your own. It made it naturally enjoyable, and it's very reactive to the player. And it also has dynamic challenge or content embedded in the game. It's also a safe space for you to experiment, right? You can fail in a game, you lose one life, but you can keep doing it. For some good games that's well designed, they have very natural scaffolding in a game to help you to achieve next level. So you don't really get too much frustrated. It just keep you want to keep playing, right? I don't know if you play some games, they give you lots of rewards.
Yes.
And very positive feedback, very instant feedback. And once you have all those elements together, sometimes for player or the learners, we get into a flow state that you just forget everything else. You're just really in this moment. So maybe that's the part make people are concerned that, oh, video games may be addicting because we just have too much screen time there. But those are the kind of advantages for using games to learn or to socialize or just forget about your worries as well.
Hmm. And you talked about how video games help you to learn. I know currently video games appeal overwhelmingly to males. Only about 8% of video game developers are women, according to Santa Clara University. In some video games, female characters are sexualized, and some of the games encourage stereotypes. That can also teach people how to view women in the real world. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, as a woman who work in the educational games field, mm-hmm. I agree some of the argument you mentioned, and we are trying to change that. And at the university, we are trying to get more girls to make games in our IMED program, and we try to get more designers that who actually design the assets for the games to be more considering and be more inclusive when they are making the games. So, it's unfortunate that the current situation was caused by the previous education or the industry, the development, and hopefully we will get more and more young women to get into the field and making games for themselves and for their friends as well. I forgot to mention, there is a pretty large women developers conferences. It's actually happening right now called the Grace Hopper Conferences. It's all women, over 20,000 women developers are having a conference right now. Lots of them are making games there as well. So I'm sure there will be more in the future.
I know you said there's no real hard evidence that says that video games encourage violence. In 2018, after the Stoneman Douglas High School shooting in Parkland, Florida, former President Donald Trump attempted to link violent video games with the cause of a shooter's actions. Is there any evidence that first-person shooter games increase the likelihood of mass shootings in those with an unstable mindset?
From the research I read about, the answer is no. For general public, it's no. For certain populations, so there is a term in academic called, there is a pathological pattern of play. It's defined, this is a definition from, I believe, 2007, that if you are playing games 24 hours, at least 24 hours per week, then you display a pattern called pathological play. And at that moment, there are maybe about 8% of the video games players in the US kind of exhibit that pattern. And if you have that certain pattern, we don't know why you have that pattern. There are different, the meta-analysis shows that this kind of pattern maybe because the player already had previous depression, like I mentioned, right? Exposure to your family violence, maybe you had, the player had antisocial personality traits or other peer pressures. So it's not necessarily because they played the first shooter games that increased their aggression. Maybe because more on the family and the social variables than those motivation behind the violence that triggered them to do a certain violent behaviors. And those are very heavy studied research in the field. I don't know the exact number, how many percent of the researchers said that, how many researchers are out there, but if you go search for the peer review studies, and that's the majority is there.
Can you talk to us a little bit about the new world of virtual reality and what direction that's going to take us in?
Oh, that's the question I really like. It's something fun. At our university, we have, in IMED, we have the other professor, Charles Palmer. He actually teaches mixed reality course. We teach students how to build the environment, how to use it, how to engage the audience in a new environment here. And every year during summer, we have summer camps for students to come in, for middle school, high school students come in, join us to learn about solar system, to learn about science in virtual reality world. Like last summer, we had students come in, we learned about how NASA was working in a space. So we went to the space station in a virtual reality, which is really hard for you to do in real life, right? So that's some really exciting part for virtual reality. Hopefully in the future, we will be able to make with the technology advancement, the technology will become more affordable. Right now, you probably need invest $500 to $1,000 to get a very good piece of equipment and software together for you to run it. And hopefully within next 5 to 10 years, it gets more affordable and the technology gets faster as well. So there are more environments you can experience there. And you will be able to visit different parts of the world, different parts of the planet, different parts of the solar system or universe in the environment. And there's no limit in the imagination in the future.
We know the world of video games is so exciting for all ages, but is there an age that is too young to start playing video games, or is there a such thing as being too old to play?
Let's talk about the younger ones first. Personally, I would not let my kids. For my nephew, we don't let him to play every day for more than 30 minutes, so we have a screen time, right? I think any technologies or any games you can ask kids to play, it's pretty engaging for them. However, as parents, as teachers, you might want to have a certain balance in a kid's life, right? I don't know how the parenting works, but there is no research saying, oh, the kids cannot play it. However, I would argue that you might want your kids to experience different parts of their life rather than 8 hours of video games in a day, right? So if you like kids to play 30 minutes as a reward, that's great. And for the elderly, I know this one is because I read a study, I believe it's almost 10 years ago. So they did a study with the aging population with age, I believe it was 68 above. The use of video games has shown the benefits for the aging population. So they studied the cognitive effects of video games on this group of population. So they measured their self-concept, measured their quality of life. They used the cognitive, I believe there is a Alzheimer's test and there is a self-concept test and the other WHO, the quality of life questionnaire. So based on those answers and questions, it showed that use the video games leads to this group of elderly to the improvement of cognitive function in the elderly, and they were able to maintain very good self-concept and the quality of life. can say that. I don't know if there might be new study coming out for elderly to regarding this group of population. But, you know, we will grow older in another 20, 30 years. I'm sure I will be still playing video games, maybe doing some research on it too.
So cool. So where do you think video games are going next? It just seems like the progression never stops and it's so exciting.
Next, let's say that next 3 days, there is a HU Esports Invitational. There were 120 colleges from 10 different countries. They had that they played three different esports games, and they come up. I think we will have eight finalists this Sunday. They will come to Harrisburg University at the Whitaker Center Student Union, Harrisburg University Student Union, play, compete for their finalists here. So there are, you know, there will be competitions, there will be professional esports player here to play it. So that's within this week. And in the future, I would say that there might be more and more professional players competing in video games for audience to see. The other one is I hope to see more and more learning games that focus on students, help them to learn knowledge is that kind of hard to teach in real life using textbook. And hopefully in the future, we will be able to experience VR more. And for the entertainment space, I'm sure there are other researchers and game developers and designers will be able to develop more games for diverse audience and be more inclusive.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Tsai. This has been a very fun and insightful conversation.
Well, thank you for having me, Anaya. It's really great to talk to you.
We've been talking to Dr. Tsai Lu, Assistant Professor of Interactive Media Studies at Harrisburg University. You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional.